RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Impey on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. It's the Wednesday show. We are loaded today. Here's what happened yesterday. I took the intro, you know, the intro, I tell you what's going to happen in the show. That's pretty standard. That's how radio works. But I talked for a while. I talked for like 5 or 6 minutes, and I wanted to talk about UVA and Tech football. We kind of ran up against it on the other end. It's like, oh, it was too much intro. I don't know what the right amount of intro is, but we had too much intro yesterday. Here's today's intro. Play Chesterfield, 10:30. You know it. You love it. We are rebooting Play Chesterfield for the winter sports. Monikin drops by today. It'll be fun. That'll be our first double dip. With Monikin, who was also, they were on the tail end of the last one too. So there's been a lot of Monikin radio happening here at MP on the mic. We'll have VCU game day, break it down for you from every angle. Zach Joachim joins us as he does on Wednesdays at 11 o'clock. At 11:30, as he does on game days, Robbie Robinson, the voice of the Rams, drops by. Georgia Southern in town tonight, 7 o'clock game against the Rams, 6:15, A1 pregame from the Siegel Center. It's two tune-ups here. They got Penn on Monday before they go out west for a pair of games out west. Go out to the OK Corral and see if they can win a couple shootouts there against Colorado State and New Mexico. Those are big games. Penn is not a big game. That's a little game. This is a semi-big game. Georgia Southern taking on VCU tonight. They've been competitive with good teams, and so I think that's an important one for VCU. It's you like to have the big ones, right? You like to win the games that really matter against the best teams. But a lot of making the tournament is handling your business on nights like this. When you got a feisty team in town, you got a little mid-December chill in the air. Finding a way to take care of business, do the things you need to do. A couple things we need to do up front. Commanders, lots of Commanders off the field news today. We'll dive into all that here in about 10 minutes. But I told you I was probably going to complain about the college football playoff ranking, and it came out last night. Here's what happened. Everybody else complained about the college football playoff ranking. Now, my gripe is still there. They still have the Big Ten too much. They still have Indiana too much. They still have SMU too much. But I don't know if we need to go to conspiracy corner here, if I'm going to straight up say there is no conspiracy. Maybe we should. because we haven't gone there in a while. Alabama is ahead of Miami in the latest college football playoff rankings. This is Conspiracy Corner.
What's going on here?
Conspiracy theories.
A lot of conspiracy theories out there.
I don't know.
You don't know who you're messing with.
So let's get to it.
ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips. We're not related. But by the way, all right, first sidetrack of the day, 4 minutes into the show. BizSense sends a morning email out. Richmond BizSense, they do a nice job, cover development stuff. There's a historic building being torn down on Grace Street downtown, I think it was. I don't quote me on that. A historic building being torn down, and they quoted preservationist, local preservationist Michael Phillips. Same spelling and everything. And here's how you know you do too many things, Hazel. Because for a second I thought, huh, I don't remember talking to BizSense about that house.
I was going to say, you do have a lot of jobs.
Yeah. Like, back when I had one job, it was like, oh, Michael Phillips, there's another one out there. Now I do so many things over the course of the day. It's like, did I talk to BizSense about a historic house?
Am I a preservationist?
Am I a preservationist? I don't think of myself as a preservationist. Huh. Maybe a hoarder. That's different than being a preservationist.
That might be the nice way of saying it.
It's a spectrum. Preservationist to hoarder. What is it if not a spectrum? But I did not talk to BizSense about a historic house. There is another Michael Phillips in town, which makes at least three by my count.
There's a lot of you.
Yeah, because there's also the one who took the picture of Daniel Day-Lewis as President Lincoln when he was in town and almost got me fired. So that's its own Michael Phillips story. But yeah, I just eating my Cheerios, minding my own business, and there I am in BizSense. Not me. Not me. Also not me, commissioner of the ACC. Also not a job I am interested in having. Jim Phillips on tonight's penultimate conference football playoff rankings. We are incredibly shocked and disappointed that Miami dropped six spots to number 12. Miami has more wins and fewer losses than the team directly ahead of them, that's Alabama, and a dominant victory over an SEC team whose late season surge includes a win over number 13, Ole Miss. Moreover, with two losses by a combined 9 points, Miami absolutely deserves better from the committee. There's anytime the SEC gets the benefit of the doubt, the conspiracy theorists are going to come out. You know what this is. They want Alabama in the playoffs. You know what it is. Dollar signs. Alabama moves the needle. Got to have Alabama in the playoffs. That's what the committee's doing here. I am prepared. I didn't think I would do this morning, to go to bat for the committee. And to them, I would like to say, to the ACC people, I'd like to say, Miami lost to Syracuse. All right? So that's kind of where the discussion ends right there. Miami lost to Syracuse. If Miami was playing in the ACC title game this weekend, they'd be in the playoffs. Miami had to beat Syracuse to make the ACC title game. There is no world where you can tell me with a straight face Miami can win the national championship. But here's what they're doing. This, anytime Alabama is involved, everybody goes straight to, you know what this is all about? This is all about Alabama. Hey, they're a big name. I get it. They move the needle. This isn't even a little bit about Alabama. This is about SMU. This is about the conferences protecting these conference championship games, which don't mean anything but make a lot of money. So you got the Big 12. It's conference title game. This is very straightforward. The winner of the Big 12 title game, Arizona State or Iowa State, will get to play in the college football playoff. That's easy. We can all agree. That's a good system. Two teams are going to play. The team that wins gets to the playoffs. The other team doesn't get to the playoffs. That's fine. SEC title game and Big Ten title game. Two teams will play, Oregon, Penn State, Texas, Georgia. The winner and the loser will both go to the title game. That's straightforward. We all understand that system. You don't have to love that system, but that is the system. Those are the rules. They're both in. They don't need to win. It's a glorified exhibition in a lot of ways, and we can debate whether that's a good idea or a bad idea to have glorified college football exhibitions in the middle of December. But we all understand the system. In the ACC, it's trickier. Because if you were to ask me straight up right now, who's the best team in the ACC? MP, you watch a lot of ACC Network. You've resisted buying the Christmas light display. They limit you to buying three because they're flying off the shelves. You've resisted calling the number every single week of this season. You watch the ACC huddle. You love ACC Network. Mark Packer's your guy. What do you think about the ACC? Who's the best team? It's my job as a radio professional right now to tell you Miami's the best team in the ACC. Period. Full stop. Miami is the best football team in the ACC. I believe that. They are not playing in the ACC title game. Now we got a situation. Clemson is playing in the ACC title game. I think they're a good football team. They have now lost twice to the SEC. If the point of a 12-team playoff, as I'm so often told, is we have to figure out who the best team in college football is. We used to have a 2-team playoff. Somebody got left out. Somebody got left out. We don't know who the best team in college football is. So we went to a 4-team playoff. And everybody's got the fifth best team. They could have won the title. We left out deserving teams. And we may have last year, Florida State and Georgia. We may have left out deserving teams. 12-team playoff. We are going to figure out once and for all who's the best team in college football. Full stop. No caveats. Nothing. It's not Miami, right? So if you're the committee and you're putting together a 12-team playoff, you need to make sure to include any team that can plausibly win the national championship. It's not Clemson. Clemson has lost twice to SEC teams. They're not as good as the SEC. Clemson is not deserving of being in a 12-team college football playoff. SMU's a little trickier. SMU is undefeated with their current quarterback, caveat, right? They lost early in the season to BYU with a different quarterback. Changed quarterbacks. They're undefeated since then. They haven't lost. Undefeated's good. That's got a good ring to it. They haven't played anybody. My gut says they're not good enough to win the national title. The reason we have a 12-team playoff is to figure something like this out. We have a team who's undefeated with their current quarterback, right? One loss overall. Maybe they're the best team in America. Could be. They haven't lost with their current configuration. This is why we have a 12-team playoff. They need to participate in this. Are they going to lose to Notre Dame by 100? Yeah, it's very possible. I don't think they're playoff good. I think they skated by. Indiana, same story, right? Like Indiana, only one loss. You got to let them in the playoffs. We got to find out. I don't need a playoffs to find out. They lost. They lost one. When you lose one in a weak schedule, you forfeit your right to be in the playoffs to me. But SMU, if they lose to Clemson on Saturday, I think Miami's definitively a better team at that point than SMU. They got a better resume. But you cannot punish a team for playing football because that devalues the whole game, right? If SMU knows that going into the game, if you win, you make the playoffs. If you lose, you're out of the playoffs. If you don't play, you're in the playoffs. Dropping Miami to 12. I get it. Everybody wants to see it. This is about Alabama. Getting Alabama in the play. This has nothing to do with Alabama. This is about protecting Saturday's game, because if SMU loses, you're going to have to somehow keep them above Miami, because otherwise the message is stop playing football games. It's better to not play a football game than to play a football game. That's bad for business. That's what nobody wants. That's the real conspiracy here. Is protecting the value of playing football games that are nationally televised with ads. That's Conspiracy Corner. The Campbell's Soup guy is the president of the Washington Commanders. That's the second weirdest story involving the Washington Commanders that emerged yesterday. That's where we're at. We need to address that after the break. You're listening to 910-1 FM, 11 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. All the things converge here. It's VCU game day. It's Wednesday. We talk with Zach Joachim. It's going to be a good one tonight, I think, down at the Stew. It's VCU Georgia Southern. They've been competitive this year in some games. One last big tune-up here before Penn on Monday, and then that West Coast trip that we know will be so consequential now that the net scores are out. Zach Joachim joins us, Richmond.com, Richmond Times Dispatch. What's up, dude?
What's up, MP on the mic? It is also Spotify Rap Day, and I joined Spotify just this year. And so when I turned on my phone this morning and I saw that, I was incredibly excited. So I got my Spotify Wrapped for the year. Lots of people celebrating that.
This is your first Spotify Wrapped ever. That's okay. So I shared mine this morning. So Maggie Rogers came in at number 5 on mine. I'm guessing she was your number 1.
She was indeed my number 1. I believe I was in the top 0.5% of listeners, which I'm
disappointed.
I need that number to be higher.
I don't think the number goes higher than that. I think unless you're related, I think that's as high as the number goes right there.
I think I've seen Savannah is in the top like 0.01% of Taylor Swift listeners. So I do think it goes higher.
It does go higher. Uh-oh. Well, you got some work to do this year. You got your work cut out for you. Got some long car rides coming. A10 season's about to happen. You'll be putting in the miles. I expect better.
I'm probably not going to see Maggie Rogers in concert twice this upcoming year as I did this last year. I'll try, but I don't know if she's going to be on tour and I'll have the same opportunities. And I listened to her on those entire trips for both of those shows. So I'll have to plan around that. I'll have to find ways to make up for it.
You went to Red Rocks, right?
I did.
We're all the way off the rails. I love Red Rocks. That's one of my favorite places.
Oh, my gosh. What an amazing venue. You have a great view of the stage from anywhere. You've got space. I mean, the benches are wide to move around. Everything is accessible from the drink stands to the bathrooms and everything. And obviously just the obvious part of the rocks in the background and the scenic elements of it. Oh, my goodness. It was amazing. But that was like a couple weeks after I hurt the ankle. So I was hobbling around Red Rocks, and if you've ever been there, it is a very steep ascent up. And so that was quite the journey for me getting to the top of Red Rocks just after getting off crutches.
We're going to get some good shows to this new Richmond downtown amphitheater, because that's going to be cool where you can see the river.
Allison Krauss just announced, I believe, in August. My sister is a huge fan of hers. What, 27-time Grammy Award winner? I read that story.
That's a good show.
Yesterday, that's a really good one. I'm very excited to see what shows we get rolled out there. Remy Wolf was also her song Soup was in my top 5 songs, and she's coming to Browns Island in April. I'm very excited for that one.
Hazel's giving you the fist pump here. You got.
I'm gonna be there with you.
There you go.
Oh.
I love it. Zach Joachim joins us on Wednesdays. VCU basketball tonight. Give me your initial impressions here of this one, because we're not talking about a marquee game, obviously. This isn't New Mexico. This isn't, you know, one of the Charleston games. But this isn't a steamroll 'em game either. This isn't Elizabeth City State. What do you make of Georgia Southern?
I'm looking at their schedule right now. 89-87 win at Winthrop. It's, you know, a lot of people familiar with college basketball will know that Winthrop program. They're 5-3. No, this is certainly not a gimme. I think, honestly, they just lost to Drake 61-47, but that's a Drake team that won the Charleston Classic, right, that VCU was just at, and beat some very good teams on the way to doing so. And so I think this is one of those games that, you know, you pull up the schedule initially when the non-conference slate comes out, and you look at the teams VCU has coming into the Siegel Center, and there's not a whole lot of name recognition there because it's so hard for VCU to get good programs to come in there. But I think of St. Peter's a few years ago, right, McNeese State last year. VCU has really excelled at getting teams that by the end of the year, you look back at how it affects your resume, and it's in a positive way. And I think this is one of those games, right, that initially – there's not a whole lot of name recognition, but at the end of the year, it's going to be a resume booster. And it's certainly not going to be an easy game. I think it'll be exciting tonight, just from a neutral standpoint. They play fast. I think they're 10th in the country in possessions per 40 minutes on KenPom, and Ryan Odom talked about that in his media availability this week. So transition defense, something that VCU has struggled with at times this year, especially in Charleston, that hurt them down the stretch of that Seton Hall and Nevada games, and even toward the end of the Miami game when Miami cut that big deficit down to 6, I think it was. They struggled with that, and so that's going to be key for VCU tonight against a team that wants to get up and down the floor, and it should be a fun-to-watch game. Another thing that I saw WVCW Radio talking about on Twitter yesterday that fascinated me is the three-point metrics for Georgia Southern. They allow teams to attempt a lot of threes, but they hold teams to making them at a relatively low clip, which slides right in with what VCU has done this year, right? VCU wants to put up a lot of threes, but they have not really clicked consistently. They were great in the Bellarmine game, but they've been inconsistent since then, and especially weren't great in Charleston. I think ended up 29 of 92 from three between those three games in Charleston, and so not quite where VCU wants to be for a team that really relies on its outside shooting. And so that'll be interesting to see if VCU can get that to be a little more efficient from beyond the arc tonight against a team that's going to let you take a lot of threes.
It's the threes are going to be the story of the whole season, I think, from here. I also want to mention you were there on Friday, Joey Rodriguez, getting his jersey retired. It sounds like that was a cool moment for everybody.
It was a cool moment for the fans, obviously. Everyone at the Siegel Center and around this program knows what Joey did for VCU and how much that era of VCU basketball meant to the program. I was interested to ask Ryan Odom about what the current players understand of that Final Four run and of Joey Rodriguez, because they were pretty young, right, when in VCU's heyday and Shaka Smart and Havoc and everything. And Ryan Odom talked a lot about the generational interconnectedness of this program. A moment stood out to me over the summer when I walked into the Basketball Development Center to interview Christian Furman, and Ryan Odom was talking to Marcus Santos Silva in the entryway to the BDC. Marcus Santos Silva, who transferred out of VCU to end his college career and never played for Ryan Odom, but so it struck me that the two of them were talking at the entryway to the Basketball Development Center. If you spend time in there during the summer, you know that a bunch of former players come by. And Zeb Jackson and Ryan Odom talked about Joey Rodriguez meeting with the team earlier that day before his jersey retirement ceremony, and kind of inspiring them and talking about the culture of VCU basketball that has been consistent over the last decade or so since that Final Four run, decade plus since that Final Four run. Obviously, you have Darius Theus and Bradford Burgess on the staff right now who help instill the culture of those days. And Odom was candid about it. He was like, look, I know there was some angst when I was hired because I'm a departure from the Shaka coaching tree, right? And everyone kind of wants to hang on to the glory of that heyday. And you had Mike Rhodes and you had Will Wade, who still had that Final Four DNA. And so Odom talked about how important it is for him to look, he's going to want to do some things his way, as any head coach will, but he also understands that there's a culture that has to be in place at VCU that was there long before he got there and will be there long after he leaves. Right. And Darius Theus, Bradford Burgess are obviously huge parts of that, and having them on staff and having guys like Joey Rodriguez come back for a ceremony like that and talk to the current crop of Rams is also a big part of maintaining that cultural consistency.
No doubt. Ton of fun, and obviously a cakewalk of a game, which it won't be tonight. It'll be a fun one tonight out of the stew. You follow along with the live blog at richmond.com. Zach Joaquin fires that up. I don't have ESPN Plus, Zach, so I need you on nights like this. So that's important to me. Just know.
I appreciate you following along. I've been trying to mix up the teaser image for you. I've been trying to have a different one every game. So I know I had that same very generic fan celebration one after the first couple games. So I've been trying to keep it fresh for you.
It's not gone unnoticed. I love it. We're at the end of the high school football run here too. A couple games this weekend, and just the good teams left now.
Verina and Dinwiddie was so much fun this past Saturday. I know we've talked about it a couple times this year, but oh my goodness, games out at Dinwiddie are the best. Their hospitality is wonderful. They had MP, they had hot dogs, they had chili, they had pecan pie, they had ham sandwiches, they had stew. The cookout was rocking and the cowbells were ringing and that environment was awesome and the horse was getting up and down the sideline. But it was Verina that came out with a win, man, and that Verina team is playing some great football right now, and they've got a chance, I think, to make a run to a state final. I don't know a whole lot about Tuscarora, where they're playing in the Class 4 state semifinal. I don't know a whole lot about Briarwoods, who Elsie Bird is playing in the Class 5 semifinal. Obviously, both Northern Virginia area teams. But Savannah, my colleague and your friend, is very excited about Tuscarora coming here. She's a Tuscarora alum. So she's going to be at that game on Saturday, along with Weldon Bradshaw. Weldon's going to write the story, and Savannah's going to be getting video. Caleb Weish, man, if you don't know that name, as a sports fan in the Richmond area, then get to know it. He's a sophomore at Verina, plays basketball as well, comes from a family with great athletic lineage. His dad was an All-Metro basketball player. His older brother, KJ, was an All-Metro basketball player who's at Virginia Union right now, helped Verina win a state title in hoops a couple of years ago. And Caleb is just a sophomore and has really grown up under center for the Blue Devils this year. Had an amazing game. What was it, 205 rushing yards and a touchdown against Dinwiddie in that 41-27 win for Verina, and threw up four touchdowns through the air, three of them to Damari Carter, who's one of the best receivers in the area. He's gotten healthy over the second half of the year for them, and that's really unlocked that offense, which at times early in the year I think had to rely a lot on Weish's legs for them to get the ball moving, and they leaned on what's a nasty defense on the other side of the ball. But man, with Carter getting healthy, they can beat you through the air right now too. You have to roll over double coverage on him because Dinwiddie left him one-on-one, and I thought that was the difference in that game. Was Dinwiddie left him one-on-one pretty consistently. He ended up with 118 yards and three touchdowns, and you just can't do that against a receiver of that caliber. And Harry Dalton, man, for Dinwiddie is going to go down as one of the best players in Richmond area history, the all-time touchdown leader, the all-time yards leader. But it was Verina's day, and that defense was able to slow him down enough to give Weish and the offense a chance to win that game. Jaden Walker and Braylon Hood are the linebacking duo, both juniors at Verina, and they led that defensive effort for a defense that I think I've talked about this all year really embodies their head coach in Marcus Lewis, right, who was an All-Metro linebacker in his own playing days. He knows how to coach him up on that side of the ball. And then Bird, man, Bird didn't have an offensive touchdown in its 10-7 win over William Fleming in the 5C championship game. That defense is one of the nastiest that I've ever seen at the high school level. Emery Pope, Jacquie Vaughn, James Bland, the Williams brothers, they got a bunch of dudes on that side of the ball. If Bird can just not commit penalties and turn the ball over and not get in its own way, because that's been the problem for them in their three losses this year, they're a really tough team to beat because they don't give you anything on the defensive side. Sir Paul Cheeks as well, remember that name too. He's a track standout, two-way guy for them, defensive back, and one of the most explosive running backs I've seen. He's kind of the X factor for them. They need to get the ball in his hands consistently against Briarwood in order to get to a state final with a win in the semifinals this weekend. It's been really fun to see both of those teams go on runs this year.
No doubt. I love the excitement around this time of year. And yeah, you got a good one down at Dinwiddie. That's a great place to watch a game. All right, I got one more for you, Zach. Zach Joachim's here, Richmond Times Dispatch, Richmond.com. I know you're a big baseball guy. Have you seen this story about the golden at-bat rule that Rob Manfred's shopping?
I have not yet. No, what's going on here?
Okay, he's shopping a rule change at the winter meetings where once per game, any team can declare that any of its players is going to come up for the next at-bat, even if it's not their turn in the order. So, you know, like, you get the bases loaded, bottom of the seventh, you'd be like, Juan Soto's coming up now, like, even though it's supposed to be the eighth hitter. That's Rob Manfred's next change for baseball. This came out a couple days ago that, like, there were rumors of this, and then his quote this morning is, there's buzz around it, which is definitely his way of saying people are not just violently opposed to it because it ruins everything we love about baseball. I'm half inclined to give him the benefit of the doubt because the pitch clock was a winner. Like, I think we all agree the pitch clock was a winner. It's going to take a little more salesmanship to get me there on this, though.
It could certainly be exciting, right? Obviously, in clutch moments late in games, as you alluded to be able to bring up your best hitter in those moments is going to make for some good television spectacle, right? And I think that's obviously the goal there with a rule like that, is being able to draw viewers and really hone in on the intensity of those late game moments. For me, the big things that baseball needs to do, I think it still needs to make some strides in shortening games. A pace of play has obviously been an issue over the year. I've toyed with the idea of playing seven innings. I know that a lot of people hate that, but in order to cut down on game time and kind of raise the intensity level, I think you need shorter games, and you need less than 162. It dilutes the competition a little bit. I know that's going to get really difficult with record books, and how does that affect players' salaries? But I think you need to play a little less than that, because playoff baseball is awesome, but it's those, you know, dog days of summer regular season games that get a little monotonous sometimes because the competitive nature of the game is diluted because you just have too many of them throughout the season. And so that's what I would point to for changes I'd like to see in baseball, as opposed to, I don't know, this sounds gimmicky to me. Would it make for some cool moments? Yes, but it affects the strategic elements of the game way too much. I don't think I could get behind it, although I see the inspiration.
All right, we'll make Zach commissioner. He can shorten things up naturally. get problems solved. Zach Joachim, Richmond Times Dispatch, richmond.com. Always appreciate your time. Have fun tonight at the Stew.
MP, you're the man, my friend. I'm gonna try and get there early enough to get some food. I'll save some for you.
It's you got to be camping. You got to be camping out there in front of the door when they open it to get the food. I love it. We got to take a break. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.
VCU game night down at the Stu, taking on Georgia Southern, 6:15. Your pregame 7 o'clock tip. Robbie Robinson, of course, will be on the call. He joins us on game days when we're not out. You were working hard on Friday. I wasn't working hard on Friday. So thank you for your efforts holding it down. But we'll get him on for a game day tonight. Before we get to tonight's game, though, how cool was that to have Joey Rodriguez back and a really cool ceremony on Friday?
Michael, it was spectacular. He's such a good dude. And, you know, Joey's an... it was interesting just to have him have his jersey drop from the rafters because... It's not like Joey is at the top of every stat that we've ever had, but man, it felt like it was the right thing to do based on A, what he did in the Final Four, which is a seminal moment for VCU basketball and really the city of Richmond. I mean, I think those two are interlocked pretty well. And then also when you take a step back, like if you dig into his numbers a little bit more, I mean, he's top five in steals, he's top five in assists, he's top five in made three-pointers, he's top 25 in scoring, he's a couple times CAA, all CAA team. And so I do think it was really well-deserved. And then when you couple that with the fact that he was just a great spark plug for that team over all 4 years, it was cool. It was just neat. And they're having a good career down in Florida. Like, he's got a good job down there at Florida International working for Jeremy Ballard. So it was wonderful having him back, and he was so gracious and so humble. And I had a really good conversation with him during shoot around that it was just enjoyable for me as we were looking at memories and talking about games and things like that.
Man, I mean, that those memories are going to be etched in everybody's mind. I think of him celebrating after the Kansas win, popping his jersey, dancing around. Well, I think I'm not the only person who remembers that.
That is obviously, you know, Michael, that is the one everyone should remember because it's the big one. The best one, I think the highlight for him that really is underrated that you would never think of because it was pretty pedestrian in terms of when it happened, but he was fouled at the end of the Wichita State game that year in 2011. He went on a drive right
bracket
side
busters.
Baseline and went up in the bracket buster, and he got fouled, and we were down one. And he went to the free throw line, and of course, we didn't even know we were on the bubble, but we were. He went to the free throw line, and I'm telling you, Michael, and I know you've been in a lot of arenas and a lot of big-time arenas. I have as well. It has never been as loud in a place as it was when he was at the free throw line shooting those free throws that it was in Wichita, Kansas that night, and he hit them both. We won that game. If we don't win that game, we don't go to the NCAA tournament. We don't go to the Final Four that year. That is the – Dwayne Gladden made the call as a referee, and whenever we have Dwayne Gladden doing games, I think Dwayne's close to retirement, like we fist bump and we're like, hey, remember that Wichita State? And and he smiles at it because he's the one that made the call on ESPN. But if we don't win that game, we probably go to the NIT that year, and our lives could be totally different. It really could. So Joey making those free throws, to me, will be the ones I always remember. Yeah, the pass to Burgess to lay it up against Florida State. The averaging 10 points per game and 6 assists per game in the Final Four was phenomenal. But, man, that game is the one that I would put on the Mount, you know, Mount Rushmore of his highlights of how he impacted VCU basketball.
I love it. And you don't have to tell me. That is my hometown, Wichita, Kansas, and I've attended many a game at Charles Koch Arena there. My bigger memories, though, since we're off the rails here, Robbie, the baseball team, the Wichita State baseball team, which made the College World Series a while back, had 10-cent hot dog night several times a year. And you can't beat 10-cent hot dog night at a baseball game.
What was their coach's name? Was Stevenson?
Wasn't
that
Stevenson.
What it was? They were Jim Stevenson, and they had the twin pitchers like in the late '80s. Man, they were a huge deal in college baseball in the mid to late '80s for sure.
Yeah, they were. There you go. Business at hand with Robbie Robinson tonight. Georgia Southern coming to town. Now this isn't Elizabeth City State. This isn't a tune-up game. This is a team that's gonna give them a test, especially at the 3-point line.
Yeah, they will. They shoot a lot from the 3-point line, but they don't shoot it great from there, Michael. They're like 31% from there. They've got a couple guys that can hit them, but they can shoot really well inside. Like, think about this. They're 45%, and do the math, because I'm not smart enough to do math, they're a 45% field goal percentage team, but only 31% from the three-point line. So obviously, you know, you might shoot a lot more twos or a lot more threes or whatever. They make a lot of twos. That's what Coach Odom told us the other day in the press conference. That's what he's going to tell us today in the pregame show. They make a lot of twos, and they make them inside. And they're not like the normal throw it in, back it in, posting up guys. They're more of the 15 to 12-foot jump shots that they can make, which is peculiar in this day and age.
Old school.
And isn't necessarily what the metrics... Yeah, it's what the metrics tell you to do. The metrics tell you to shoot threes and make short twos, but they don't. And so our inside the three-point defense is going to have to be really cranked up tonight, because otherwise they can really score it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one, and be good to get everybody rocking one more time on Monday against Penn. I'm sure we'll talk to you then. But everything's kind of pointing towards this West Coast swing, right? The net numbers came out, and VCU's at 72, so certainly a couple more opportunities to work on that here in the non-conference. We know how important that is. There's some big consequential games coming up this month in December.
It's a big month for us, Mike. I mean, it's a huge month. And this set of games is, we have to take care of business first. Elizabeth City State, Georgia Southern, Penn, like you said. But man, going out west, we play a week from Saturday in Las Vegas against a good Colorado State team, and then we've got to go to the Pit in Albuquerque. And New Mexico is picked to finish second in the Mountain West, and that's a league that usually gets four, sometimes five or six league teams in the tournament. And to be picked to finish second there, Rick Pitino's squad, and we'll chat a lot about this, I'm sure, in the next couple weeks, but Rick Pitino's squad is phenomenal. So we still have some, despite only winning one game in Charleston, I still think we have some really big opportunities to beef up our resume and head into the A-10 as a team that isn't fighting to be on the bubble, but is a team that can win and stay involved in the conversation. But we've got to take care of business this week, and Georgia Southern starts tonight. But you're right. I mean, it is, while it's not pointing to the trip out west, that definitely looms large for the importance of the season.
No doubt. I don't want to get you in trouble here or undercut the broadcast. Anything you can share with us about Max after that nasty fall on Friday?
Yeah, it was super nasty. Man, it was scary. And his reaction to it was scary, because I think he really got the wind knocked out of him. He is fine. He has practiced the last 2 days. He will be in the starting lineup today, as far as I know. There is no long-term effects of taking that huge spill. So from everything that we've talked to Coach Odom about, both off the record and on the record, he said he's good to go, which is a huge relief.
That is fantastic news, especially for everybody who was there, because you always hate to see that, especially in a game that's wrapped up. But Max is as close to essential personnel as they come these days.
He's playing great. I mean, and the thing, like, if you were to ask me, and this is a real peculiar way of saying this, so give me a little bit of grace here, but like, if you were to ask me the biggest surprise this year for me personally in this team, it's probably how hard Max Shulga is playing each and every night, because he was great last year. I mean, he was a first team all A-10 player last year. There's only five of those guys, and Max was one of them. But he could be inconsistent from game to game. That is gone, Michael. That is in the rearview mirror. He is playing as hard as anybody out there all game long, and he has been a force of nature. And while he's not a 25-point-per-game scorer, he's filling up box scores and has been a really pleasant surprise on how much better he is, even as good as he was last year.
Some guys go to that NBA circuit and they get the feedback, and they don't know me. He seems to have really taken that to heart. Like, I agree with you. He has gotten better in so many different ways.
You're right, and I think it was getting that feedback saying you have to be more consistent. We saw games last year that you weren't at the top of your game, and you've got to get stronger, and both of those things have happened. And I think you have to credit him and credit Daniel Roos down in the weight room and our coaching staff for finding another level for a guy that was at a pretty high level last year.
Yeah, we're in the thick of it now, and certainly he'll be called on tonight. Max Shulga and gang against Georgia Southern, 7 o'clock tip. It'll be right here on The Fan. Robbie and Rodney, of course, on the call. Have fun tonight, and we will catch up with you on Monday.
MP, it's always great talking to you and your listeners, and I hope you have a great rest of the week, my friend.
Excellent. Appreciate it. We'll step aside. Yep. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan. Now,
love it. Play Chesterfield winter sports. Game on. We're doing it. Let's make our second trip around the lovely county of Chester.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Field, thank you to play Chesterfield, making that possible every Wednesday, 10:30. AM. We make great radio here year round. The Junkies are on in the morning. Grant and Danny's on in the afternoons. You know, I love both those guys. We have great evening programming. Tech Talk Live is on. Who's Talking comes on. VCU Basketball comes on tonight, for instance. But from noon to three, it's AWOD show. And he outdid himself yesterday on the program. So AWOD was up at the Commanders game as well with me, and victory week. Happy victory week to the Commanders. Nice blowout win over the Tennessee Titans. Back in the playoff chase. He went to Dave and Buster's after the game. Now, Adam has a friend. This is, I find this, as a lover of bits, I don't think you can do much better than this as like a hidden talent. Adam's got a friend who can hit the jackpot at Dave and Buster's every single time. So he just, you know, the games, like the spinning wheels and the things, he goes in and he plays all the games and he wins all the jackpots and he takes the prize and leaves. Where does that get you in life? Probably not fame and fortune, but I think that's a pretty cool hidden talent, right? Like, what's your hidden talent? I can go to an arcade and win all the jackpots. That's pretty good as hidden talents go. And this is legit. So they were at Dave and Buster's. He won with all his, you know, zillions of tickets, an autographed NFL star jersey. And he unwrapped it on the show yesterday. And it's on his Instagram too, AWOD Radio on Instagram, if you want to watch the facial expression live. Because the buildup is, you know, it's, I'm this isn't going to be our whole segment, so I'm sparing you like the buildup. But the buildup is, this could be Tom Brady. This could be Travis Kelce. This is an NFL star jersey. So here's AWOD unboxing the jersey.
All right, I'm going to unbox it right now, live on the radio.
You know the team. You got to know the team first.
Yeah, we are on Instagram at AWOD Radio if you want to chime in. It's purple! It's purple! It's purple! It looks like it's a Viking. It is Yari. It is Ron Yari, Hall of Famer for the Minnesota Vikings. Number 73?
Can I get a London Fletcher laugh on top of that? Yari. It's Ron Yari. Ron Yari signed jersey now in our studio here. It's purple, like it could be Randy Moss. It could be anybody.
Could be anybody.
But then you find out it's Ron Yari.
It's Ron Yari.
I love it. That's great. You're not going to get better radio than that. Geraldo opened up the empty tomb that one time in Egypt. That's the sports radio equivalent of him opening up the empty tomb in Egypt and finding nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. love it. London Fletcher, so good. We'll get London on one of these days, because I told you I chatted with him about his laugh in the locker room.
And you told me he laughed for you.
He did. Didn't force it or anything. It's just, you know.
Natural.
He was a happy dude after the game. Team won by a lot of big plays. And also Bobby Wagner, who's one of the all-time great defensive players, was singing his praises in the locker room for helping him extend his NFL career. So a lot of things were going right for London Fletcher, who could have been an NFL great, but he's no Ron Yari. I'd say this. If you had come in this morning and said, who's Ron Yari, you could have given me a million guesses. And I know football. I know a little bit about football. You know a little bit about football. Full zero on Ron Yari. There's no file. File not found on Ron Yari. 404 error. Come back later. You know who's got a Ron Yari file now? We do.
Hey, Wad.
We got a signed Ron Yari jersey here now in studio. This studio. Yeah, this studio is getting, you know, things are happening in this studio.
We got some swag in here.
I feel like since I've been here, a year and a half now? It's got progressively more swagged every single day.
And now we have Ron Yari, so...
That's the little something we need to push us over the top. We did Commanders Rewind yesterday, which was, of course, appropriate because it was a Tuesday and they won big. We are going to devote hour number two largely to VCU basketball. Game night for VCU. Big game at the Student Night against Georgia Southern. Trap game is a phrase that's overused. They're just a good team, and they're going to test VCU, and we'll see if the Rams come out on the other side, which hopefully they do. I feel this way every year. One of the biggest football games of the entire year is Virginia Tech against Virginia. It's a huge, massive game that everybody talks about, people watch, has major implications for lots of things, including today, signing day, which has lost all of its juice, by the way. We are 47 minutes into the show, and this is my first mention that today is National Signing Day, and that's not malpractice by me. People do not care as much anymore. Portal, NIL, they moved it into this December window instead of February. That used to be like pull out all the stops, live coverage. If 3 years ago, if we had done a show on signing day, it would have literally been 2 hours straight of which high school kids are committing to which schools to play for which colleges. 3 years fast forward, I don't care. And the fans care a little bit, not as much, though, because, you know, you think about Anthony Calandria, right? He plays well, he bounces. It's a whole different world out there in the transfer portal. All of which is to say, Commonwealth Cup doesn't get its due. So I want to make sure we play highlights from the Commonwealth Cup, because Virginia Tech smoked Virginia again. And I do think Tony Elliott's post-game comments were that he felt the team rose to the rivalry level more. And I think he's right. I think they did. Virginia Tech needed a big lead, needed to hold him at arm's length the whole way, and delivered 37-17. Let's start from the beginning.
Hokies have moved down to the 44-yard line. Opening possession of the game. No score. Pop Watson, his first career start at quarterback for Tech. Back to throw. Steps up, going to fire a deep ball down the field. Felton diving. He's got it on the 14. It was a bit underthrown. Daquan sliding, had to come back to catch it right in front of Jam Jackson. It's a 42-yard throw from Pop Watson to Felton.
As they start a football game, first drive, touchdown. They had, and it really didn't mean anything in the scheme of the game. I think they should have stopped to review a potential fumble by Virginia Tech. They didn't. They kept moving. Tech's offense wasn't going to be stopped. They came ready to go. Pop Watson changes the dynamic a little bit, right? Because Kyren Drone's in his last season, and you know you got a big quarterback hole there. The kid comes in from Massachusetts, plays really well. We call that the Sam Howell, right? You get your one chance, you play well. That's the stuff starting jobs are made of right there. Obviously, both sides are going to sniff out the portal, see what's out there. But I think there's a lot of Tech fans who feel pretty good about rolling into next season with Pop Watson, and justifiably so. Now, UVA, I've already said this. I believe that Tony Elliott knew before the game that Anthony Calandria was entering the portal when the game's over. I don't think his decision to play Tony Musket it drove Calandria out. I don't think that had anything to do with it. But you've got a situation here where he knows Calandria's leaving. Musket has been his guy all year. The offensive line's terrible. And so he gives Musket one last start, kind of a thank you for everything you've done. You're still my boy, Blue, you know, all that stuff. Here's what you know if you're the UVA coach, Tony Musket. Tony Elliott. You've got a quarterback who hasn't played all year, except for spot duty. You've got a terrible offensive line, and you've got a decent running game. So your first play out of the gate, I'm not going to tell him exactly what to call. I'm not a Sean McVay type or anything. You know, I'm not going to micromanage this. I'm going to tell him what not to call. You can't call a slow developing play. You can't call a play that calls for the quarterback to stand around for a while because he's not going to get that time. And you can't call for a downfield throw because you need him to get into a rhythm early. That's what you do with a young quarterback, right? That's what you do. You go back and look at that first drive for the Commanders, right? They force feed Terry McLaurin. They get into a rhythm. That's what you do with a quarterback. You get him into a rhythm early. Let's watch as UVA ignores all of that advice and does the exact opposite on their first offensive play.
UVA will start on the 25-yard line. Three men in the backfield. First play, flea flicker. Hands it off to the tailback. Gets it back. Boom. Gets sacked on the 16-yard line. The first play is a sack by APR.
Boom. Mike Burnett. Boom. Mike Burnett bringing the boom in his 41st season at Virginia Tech. You heard it right here on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Lord the boom. Things didn't get any better from there. And I think UVA had a chance to make it a game coming out of halftime until this happened at the end of the second quarter.
Second down and one for the Hokies. Pop Watson, in his first start, takes the snap, play fake. Looks to throw, fires it deep down the field. He's got his man laying in stride to the 20, to the 10, 5, touchdown Tech! It's a 66-yard touchdown pass, and the Hokies, Pop Watson, throws a home run ball all the way to Jalen Lane.
Yeah, you go into halftime and it's 10-3 and you get the ball. I think you can fire the boys up. And then the exact opposite happens there. It's 20-3 going into the locker room after that touchdown catch. And that's when you know it's not UVA's day and it's not their decade, and it really hasn't been their half century in the rivalry either. It's been rough sledding for them. Now, they didn't need it like Tech needed it. Tech needed that win in a big time way, obviously. But for UVA, it stings to again not be competitive when you measure up against a fellow state school. Pop Watson doing his thing to seal it coming out of the locker room.
20-3, Hokies leading in the Toyota red zone here early in quarter number three. Watson is in the shotgun. Off his right shoulder is Bashal Tootin. There goes Benji Goss, now in motion, left to right. Snap comes back. Watson fakes the handoff, sprints up the middle. Touchdown, Tech!
That's what you do. Pop Watson, touchdown run, 27-3. It was all formalities from there. Musket got a couple touchdown runs, got on the board, got his stats, which I think was important to UVA to get him that on the way out. Bashal Tootin got his stats, 124 yards, two touchdowns, and then that was a lot of offense, so let's let the defense seal this thing.
Driving right to left in the fourth quarter, going without the huddle. Musket going to step up, throw it again, deep down the field. It's going to be intercepted by the Hokies. Delane, he caught it on a knee on the 26, so he can't run it back. And the Hokies will have the football.
That's how you know you're winning the rivalry by a lot. You know, you don't even get the London Fletcher laugh. Just and that's another interception. Our team has the ball again, as we do when we play against Virginia. It appears that we are winning by a comfortable margin. Everybody can finish their turkey legs and file out in an orderly fashion. 37-17, Virginia Tech bowl eligible. We'll find out where they go on Sunday. But you got that game so consequential. You got to make sure to give it its time. And also, you know, it's not a signing day to remember. They moved it from February to now. That was kind of the first thing that killed signing day, was when they took it out of that February window where the guys did the hat show and did all the things. I mean, so many great signing day moments. So, like, the kid's mom, like, oh my gosh, how did he pick that school? Those are all gone here again, because all the big name schools are preparing for big games. There's still a lot of high schools that are playing very relevant football. We got a couple in the state tournament as well. It's taken a lot of the juice out of the signing day. I think that was the NCAA's goal, but then you add on the transfer portal and NIL, there's just nothing to it anymore. It's not a holiday anymore on the NCAA football calendar. It's a basketball game day is what it is at VCU. Chat with our guy Zach Joachim on the other side. You're listening
to the Mike 9 to the Fan, 105.1 FM, VCU game day, 7 o'clock tonight. Georgia Southern at the Stew. Get down there, cheer on the Rams. Two chances to see them tonight and Monday night against Penn before they head out west for a couple more big games. You'll hear them all, of course, right here on The Fan, the free Odyssey app worldwide, App Store, Google Play. I don't think I said those words in the correct order, but you know what I meant. Yesterday, Washington Commanders hired a new team president. So to refresh your memory briefly, Jason Wright was hired as the team president under Ron Rivera and Dan Snyder. He announced earlier this year he would be transitioning out by the end of the year. Very, very peaceful way to go. Peaceful transfer of power, still alive and well in America. He took some flack from the fans and from me for essentially having no regard for the team's history. I don't think as a businessman he was bad. I think he's a smart dude. If you listen to him talk, he's really smart and thinks things out. The mistake was, and we don't need to relitigate Jason Wright's tenure with the Commanders, but the mistake was he thought he came from McKinsey, which is a big global consulting firm thing. You know how these things go. Essentially, it was I go places. They're not selling widgets well. We make the widgets sell well. We move on. That's what McKinsey does. And he treated the football team like a widget. It's not. It's a football team. You feel more passionate about the football team than you do about light bulbs or screws or whatever it is you go to the store to buy. And so that's how you end up with things like ill-advised name changes, ill-advised rollouts of name changes, Sean Taylor memorials that go horribly sideways, other Sean Taylor memorials that also go horribly sideways, because it wasn't done with the passion for the team and the fan base. It was about selling some widgets. Sean Taylor, he used to play here, and slap his name on something, sell some widgets. And not a widget selling business. It's actually a highly irrational business, selling tickets to football games and selling fandom. Highly irrational. And you have to lean into that. So Jason Wright's moving on, and new ownership is going to want a new guy. That's normal. So they announced yesterday who the new team president is, and he is Mark Klaus, and he is formerly the CEO of the Campbell's Company, which oversees iconic brands including Campbell's Soup, Goldfish Crackers, Pepperidge Farm, Rouse Marinara Sauce, and more. And
let's go, soup's on.
Soup's on. Soup's on in Washington. He is going to be in charge of selling this to people. And I'll say this. I love the idea of bringing in a guy who oversees something that people feel passionately about, right? It's not... Food's not a widget. People feel passionately about food, too. Pepperidge Farm, I got strong Pepperidge Farm takes. Don't you worry about that. Campbell's Soup, right? Andy Warhol, like, it's, you know, you're stewarding an iconic brand more so than you're selling widgets. but you're also selling widgets. They got to sell some widgets too. They got to do that as well. The big question for him is going to be, are you going to change the name again? That's the only thing he will do of consequence in his tenure, right? Make the new stadium sing, but that's kind of above him too. And are you going to change the name? You know my take on that. I think they should change the name. The name Redskins is never coming back. Get over it if that's what you're yelling at your radio right now. It's not coming back. But they should change the name again. Not because of any other reason than Commanders is an objectively terrible name for a football team. So we should change the name again. Fighting Goldfishes? New color scheme? I don't know. I'm in. I said that was the second weirdest story of the day because it was. They're working on getting the RFK Stadium land to build a new stadium. As a reminder from Schoolhouse Rock, the Senate is 100 lawmakers who form the most deliberative body in the world and, of course, are very, you know, conscientious at all times in what they do. The U.S. Senate has the ability to filibuster something. That's where one senator can decide they don't want something to happen, and then it stops happening. So we heard about that a couple weeks ago. Steve Daines is a senator from Montana who said he wasn't going to vote for the new stadium deal until the old logo came back. I don't know what they did, but they made him happy. That's how politics works. Yesterday, Maryland's senators met with Roger Goodell and with Josh Harris, the owner of the Commanders, to discuss their objections to the stadium. And so Maryland has said they are willing to remove their objections to this new stadium. Of course, Maryland's stake in the game is FedEx Field is located in Landover, Maryland. If the RFK deal doesn't come through, then you've got a situation where the team would probably build at the FedEx Field site. It's the path of least resistance. Maryland was a master, Virginia was a master in the whole Ted Leonsis thing. So Maryland has offered a deal to D.C. D.C. can have the new Commander Stadium at RFK. In exchange, Maryland would like a relocation of D.C.'s Air National Guard Squadron to the state of Maryland. Just your very traditional fighter jets for a stadium land transaction. Another day in the vaunted halls of Congress. We are going to keep it local in the next segment. It's the Play Chesterfield Athlete Spotlight of the Week. We love that segment. And for the first time, we'll be talking to winter sports athletes, which is cool because it's winter, as you can tell outside. It's time for everybody to get indoors and start playing some indoor sports. We'll do Play Chesterfield on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.